Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The earlier the better. I mean, it would be nice if we can kind of, by the first, send to the second week in training camp, I'd be a goal to kind of have a good idea. If it goes into the games, you know, it could go into the preseason games. But maybe just one spot maybe up for grabs or something like that. That'd be okay, but the sooner the better. We'll definitely continue to evaluate every spot, including the outside backer spot, because you just never know from one day to the next, where, especially in camp, because you want to have enough guys to practice. But, you know, Adisa is going to get back here some point in time soon. So that's another depth piece, a guy that we're counting on. So we'll have to see where it goes.
You heard John Harbaugh talking about the offensive line and wanting to get the starting five set up. And then Harb's talking about the edge rushers. He did mention Adisa Isaac coming back soon. Well, soon as today, he was activated today on the practice field. They also signed wide receiver Russell Gage, who did not play last year, ruptured a patella tendon, but played with the Buccaneers the year before, wide receiver. But alas, let's get back to the question at hand. And you've got two units, position groups, that there are question marks. Right now, where do you have more confidence? Is it O-line or is it edge, Bone? By the way, Jason at One Winning Drive at training camp. He'll be back later. We'll check with him at three.
Yeah, I just figured that these are two of the position groups with varying levels of concern, but I would say that those are the two biggest groups, and that's why we talked about them a good bit yesterday, and we obviously will again today. And you know where I've been at this whole offseason, Ken. I just think it's a lot of turnover on this offensive line. Could they end up being serviceable? Absolutely. Do you have a lot of confidence in Joe DeLisandres, who's a very renowned, well-renowned offensive line coach for this football team? Absolutely. But the question marks are what scare me right now with this offensive line. And I'm not pressing the panic button by any means about Tyler Linderbaum. If there's ever a time to deal with a minor injury, it's now, when you have a month to go to training camp. But, you know, what version of Ronnie Stanley are we getting this year? I mean, is this contract you're going to bring out the best of him, or are the injuries going to continue to pile up? Andrew Voorhees, I mean, gotten some pretty solid reviews out at One Winning Drive, but he's yet to take a snap in the NFL. And I think the other guard spot, you know, who knows? I think prior to camp, we were thinking, okay, can Ben Cleveland have a Ben Powers type of trajectory? That hasn't really taken shape yet. And then, of course, Roger Rosengarten, who just got inserted into the first team offensive line recently, John Harbaugh talking about that. He's a rookie. But look, I still have my concerns about edge as well, and we do have a poll up, IA1057 The Fan, very early on. We're only 50 votes in. What position group are you more confident in being mostly fine? And offensive line out to an early lead, 60% to edge, 40.
I went O-line in large part because of a name you mentioned, Joe D. And I look at the guards, and I feel like Voorhees is going to win one of the guard spots.
Yeah.
And let's look back a year ago. Who the guard that they...
Simpson.
Yeah.
John Simpson.
John Simpson. When they signed him a year ago, people were like, then he ends up playing well for them and getting a contract from the Jets. Like, now, granted, part of this, and we're asking, the question is right now, Ronnie Stanley's healthy right now. So right now, I have more confidence in the O-line because I don't know what, like, I feel like Clowney did so much, not only getting sacks himself, but creating sacks for others, and that isn't there, and I don't know what David Ojabo is going to give them, and Adisa Isaac just hit the field today. I do think Owe is going to be better, but I don't know what they're getting out of their edge.
Yeah, and I think with Jadeveon Clowney, something that sometimes flies under the radar is just how well he plays the run, how well he sets the edge as well, and they are going to miss that. That's 9.5 sacks, poof, gone from last year. And Adisa Isaac, look, you're hoping that you can kind of ramp him up and at some point he can be a situational pass rusher for you. I just think it is funny. 12 months ago around this time, we're talking pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. And somehow, some way, they end up leading the league in sacks. I'm not expecting that to be the case.
I didn't expect it last year, though.
Oh, no one expected it last year, and they ended up doing it. But offensive line, I just think, could this be a group that ends up taking some lumps early and getting better as the year goes on? Sure, but Stanley's the X factor, man. I mean, he is the ultimate X factor for this offensive line, because if he can be a serviceable left tackle and he can stay remotely healthy, I'm talking playing 14 games, 13 games of the 17, then I think you start to feel a lot better about that offensive line.
Yeah, and then there's also the Linderbaum part, assuming he's healthy, which
I'm not too worried about.
They
that
still got a ton point of time.
Yeah, still got but a month.
The Ravens are practicing today. No Bateman or Linderbaum on the field. Linderbaum's now, remember, last week when he got hurt, they're saying soft tissue, he's okay, but we're now Tuesday of the following week, and he's still not out there. But again, you're not going to see him in preseason games, so they got a lot of time.
Yeah, this is where you have time on your side, and you know, you're over a month away from week one in Arrowhead.
Yeah, so like I feel like I know Ronnie Stanley, assuming and unless Stanley or Linderbaum get severely hurt at camp, because neither one's going to suit up in a preseason game. When they play Kansas City that first Thursday, Stanley's going to be at left tackle, Linderbaum's going to be at center. I think Voorhees is going to be one of the guards. Right tackle is going to be Rosengarten. And Rosengarten did not have a good day yesterday, but he had a good 2 weeks before that. So, like, I feel like I'm more confident in the pieces that are there than I am in the pieces that are at edge.
Well, let me ask you this question. And you and I, we were early on in Owe's career. We were drinking
double-digit
the Kool-Aid.
Sacks,
we were
yeah
drinking the Kool-Aid. And now he, according to everyone out there, having a hell of a training camp, and we know that the analytics in terms of pressure rate really liked him last year. Are you buying in, or are you show me?
So what exactly am I buying? Do I think he's going to be a really productive player and have more sacks than he did a year ago?
Can this be a breakthrough for
yes
him?
Am I going to buy double-digit sacks? I don't know if I can get there. Hell, Clowney didn't have double-digit sacks a year ago. Now, if he could rap, he might have had 14. But like,
if I set the number at 8, are you biting?
So 8.5?
Yeah, just
no, but 8.5 is the over.
Sure.
I'll go over 8.
Okay. I think I'm there.
I think you
got
to set the number at 7.5.
Sure.
But I hear you, because you can get half sacks in football. So.
And then Van Noy, am I expecting 9 sacks out of him again this year? No. But am I expecting where he had been his prior handful of years in between 5 and 6 sacks? Yeah. Because history tells me he can do that.
And he can do all the other things, too.
Yes.
Like, he's a vet. He can set the edge. He can do all those things. So, like, I don't know if the sack numbers are going to be there, like you just said, but I do think that he'll be able to help them in many ways.
He can still be an impactful player. Now, something that I am wondering, with Clowney not here, is that going to put a Kyle Van Noy into a situation like Calais Campbell a few years back? Are you playing Kyle Van Noy too much in an age 33 season?
Well, that makes it imperative that guys like Ojabo and Isaac, two guys, they need to play. They need to be productive because they need to keep those snaps down. You're absolutely right, Bone. We have a huge Tuesday show. As we said, Jason Lockenfora is out at One Winning Drive. He's at training camp. He'll check in with us at 3 o'clock. Guest-wise, Buck Martinez, Orioles started a three-game set with the Blue Jays tonight. He'll be on the call for Sportsnet in Toronto. Former Oriole broadcaster joins us at 2:30. Our weekly chat with our friend Rita Hubbard talking Ravens and Orioles at 3:30. Dan Connolly covering the Orioles and MLB for Sports Kita joins us at 4. And our weekly chat with Todd Karpovich. He's out at One Winning Drive. He covers the Ravens for BaltimoreSports.com. The Orioles for PressBox. We'll talk to him at 4:30.
The O's offense is hot. 77 runs over their last 12 games. That's just under 6.5 runs per game. A lot of young dudes stepping up in big, big ways. And 4-15, I mean, league at large. Brandon Ayuk, is that situation finally going to get resolved? And, of course, Jason will get a hit with him live at One Winning Drive, and then he'll be back in the 5 o'clock.
Coming up next, Ravens back on the practice field. They're there every day, essentially. Tomorrow is their last day. I think it's the last day of training camp, isn't it? Because they go in the regular season mode after the first preseason game.
Well, I actually got the calendar up here. Yeah. Fans are still through next week.
Oh, wow.
So fans are still through Thursday. So training camp will end after Thursday's practice.
Regular season mode right around the corner, which means summer's over, Bone. Like, essentially, once you're in regular season football mode, summer's over.
Yeah.
Coming up next, Ravens sound from yesterday. We'll hear from Harbs. We'll hear from Adarius Washington. We'll hear from Malik Harrison. That's next here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler's out right now. They're kind of evaluating him. He had some discomfort, and you know, we're going to hold him out. We're going to be very cautious with Tyler, obviously. It's not anything he needs right now in terms of practice, so we'll kind of rest him up there.
John Harbaugh giving an update yesterday on Tyler Linderbaum, and he brings up the point that he really doesn't need practice right now. He's as Jason called him yesterday, an all-world center.
That was the most shocking part of yesterday's
show. I think that was the I almost fell off the chair at Topgolf yesterday when he referred to him as an all-world center. But you know what you're getting with him. He doesn't really need reps at this point. And if he's got something that he needs a little time, this is the right time to have it.
Well, think of it this way, Ken. There's a big difference between hearing Linderbaum going down with a minor injury and Rashad Bateman. Because you look over their history. I mean, Linderbaum's a tough dude. I mean, Iowa boy, you know, he doesn't miss many games at all.
Playing with a high ankle sprain last year.
He's Pro Bowl center. He's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler at center. So that's why, look, if this was the week of the game, 2 weeks before the game, maybe I'm feeling more concerned. But this is a situation where time is on your side. And you heard John Harbaugh say, they're not going to push it. You know,
you're
in a situation where Linderbaum being a year three player, it's not the worst thing in the world for him to miss a few days.
More from John Harbaugh yesterday. Discusses getting into the position at camp where guys start to set themselves apart.
Very exciting. Gets to that point in time in camp where you really need to do that. And it's kind of part of the evolution. You got to take another step. You got to go tackle. You got to play a game. You got to understand the feel and tempo of a game, not a practice. So we're looking forward to it.
Deonte Hardy back at practice today also. And there's a guy that needs to get on the damn field. We assumed he was going to be the return man, but he really hasn't practiced well, so he better get out there and start separating himself.
Yeah, and the wide receiver position, the back end of the roster is going to be very interesting, where Zay, Bateman, Aguilar, you know their locks.
Yeah.
Tez Walker being
a rookie.
He's a lock. And then that's four guys right there. Are the Ravens going to keep six receivers? Is that Tylan Wallace? Do you keep Deonte Hardy knowing that he's just going to be a return guy? And we'll get into the kickoff a little later in the show.
What about Russell Gage?
Russell Gage, who you just brought in. I mean, now he's in the mix. So the Ravens don't have a ton of starting positions up for grabs besides offensive line. Really, it's the back end of the roster. And where those jobs are won are, of course, during training camp, but then also during these upcoming preseason games.
One of the guys we talked earlier, it seems like every day Adafe Owe is separating himself from the pack, but I've fallen for that trap before with him. I need to see him do that in actual football games.
Yeah, and we know that Owe, he's not playing Friday. Kyle Van Noy, he's not playing Friday. Nah. It's going to be a big David Ojabo game. It's going to be a big Tavius Robinson game, year two for him. And then the back end, Quincy Roche, he's a local boy.
Yeah.
And I doubt Isaac's going to play Friday, considering he just started practicing. But I'm interested in seeing Isaac during hopefully the last two preseason games, because you're John Harbaugh. They're hoping that he has a role for them as a situational guy.
Let's hear from our Darius Washington, who discusses building on last season's success.
I mean, I just stay confident in myself, you know, so that was last year. Keep that last year. You know, every day I come out here, stack every day, make the most of my opportunities, and I feel like I'm going to do the same thing when I go back out there again, you know.
Our Darius Washington, you sort of know the drill with him. When he's on the field, he plays well. He plays bigger than his size, but because of his size, I think you brought it up yesterday. It reminds you a little of
Tavon
Young. He's going to get hurt, and that's what happened a year ago.
It did, and he got hurt in that Bengals game, but week one, he played 75% of the snaps. Week two, he played 95% of the snaps. So it seemed like he was going to be primed for carving out a role in this football team, but we did the exercise. Jeff Zrebeck covers the Ravens for The Athletic when Jason was out a few weeks ago, talking about this secondary where you can dream big on this group. Mm-hmm. And with how great they were last year, and absolutely the pass rush played a big role in that, they have a chance to be even better this year. I mean, Arthur Millett, it seems like he's making a play every single day during training camp. Marlon, you hope he can stay healthy. Stevens, in a contract year. Kyle Hamilton, Marcus Williams, you brought in Eddie Jackson. You mentioned Ardarius Washington.
Jalen Armour-Davis. Having a hell of a camp.
I mean, this is an extremely deep secondary, and we didn't even bring up the first-round pick, Nate Wiggins.
Yeah.
So,
and TJ Tampa's hurt.
There is a lot of depth in this secondary.
More from Ardarius Washington. How valuable is the preseason to guys like him and the young players?
Preseason is huge. You know, that's kind of how I got my starting job and everything like that. You know, you go out there, you get the lace up against a different opponent. You know what I mean? You want to go out there and play and bang around and everything like that. You get tired of going against our team all the time, you know. So go out there and compete against some other guys, you know, put it all out there on tape.
It's real football. It doesn't count in the standings, but it counts to those dudes.
Absolutely.
Actual hitting, actual plays. It's an opportunity to put stuff on tape, not only for your team, but possibly if you don't make that team, get a job somewhere else.
We know the history of this organization, and pretty much every single year, the Ravens keep an undrafted rookie free agent. Happens every single year, pretty much. And it's guys that are shining during these preseason games, and really, the spotlight's getting even brighter on those guys, because increasingly we're seeing more and more teams not play much, if any, of their starters. But it's also really important for someone like an Andrew Voorhees, who hasn't played an actual football game in 18 months. I'm sure he's jacked up for Friday night.
Let's hear from Malik Harrison, who did have a nice season last year as reserve for the Ravens, and it talks about his versatility to play multiple positions.
Last year, that's where I, started to move around. But, I'm used to it. Like in high school, I played damn near 10 positions. So, I'm used to, playing around a whole bunch of positions. So it's nothing, too hard on me or anything.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think he was a third round pick a couple years ago. And like for the first couple years, I think this is year four for him, he was kind of a disappointment. And then last year, it was like, man, he's making plays when he's out there.
And sort of being that Swiss Army knife, because where he came in, it was supposed to be thunder and lightning, him and Patrick Queen. And it didn't work out that way. But now Harrison, he's played on the outside. He's played on the inside. And the versatility, and he was a free agent this year, and then bringing him back in. And I'm going to be fascinating seeing how much he plays inside linebacker to kind of spell or take some off the plate of a Trenton Simpson, at least early on in the year.
Apologies, he's in his fifth season. This will be his fifth season in the NFL.
Same year as Queen.
Yeah, same draft. Yeah. And the first couple of years, he didn't show anything. No. And then all of a sudden last year, he's making plays for the Baltimore Ravens. Malik Harrison says he just wants to get on the field, doesn't care the role.
To be honest, is any way to get me on the field, that's how, you know, that's just how I feel. They want me to play inside. I play, I play three tag. I play anything they want me to play.
Found it. And you know what, though? That Swiss Army knife is his role, and it's gotten him an opportunity, and he's ran with it.
Well, look at it. We just talked about the edge rush group and how we're a little concerned about that group. There's not a lot there. Inside linebacker, yeah, you got Roquan Smith, who's an all-world inside linebacker. Trenton Simpson, this is his first year of actual playing time. And then the depth there isn't all that great behind them. So that's why I think Harrison, especially early on in this year, he's going to get some run.
Inside access here on a Tuesday. Jason's out at Ravens camp. He's going to join us at 3 o'clock. But coming up next, start looking at the series that begins tonight in Toronto. Orioles with a 3-game set against the Blue Jays. Buck Martinez will be on the call on Sportsnet, the Blue Jays broadcast, and he joins us next here on The Fan. Orioles coming off an off day yesterday. Start a 3-game series in Toronto against the Blue Jays. And joining us now to talk about it, he's on the call for Sportsnet in Toronto with Dan Shulman. It's Buck Martinez, former Oriole broadcaster. And Buck, thanks as always for joining us. If we can, let's look back a little before we look ahead. The trade deadline has passed. Were you surprised the Blue Jays didn't do more at the deadline?
No, I wasn't. I thought they did exactly what they needed to do with the expiring contracts. The only guy that wasn't on an expiring contract was Nate Pearson. And they got a pretty good prospect for Nate Pearson in Charles McAdoo. So, yeah, no, I wasn't surprised. I mean, everybody said, well, they should have gone deeper. But I think they still have a core that they can certainly build around, including the three starting pitchers, Bassett, Barrios, and Gosman. So, yeah, and Vladdy's Vladdy right now. Yeah. I mean, he's as hot as Colton Cowser. So it's a pretty interesting core they have to build around.
So, Buck, I mean, with Vladdy, Bo Bichette, both of them, their contracts are up in 2025. You believe they're going to be able to retool and compete with that group next year?
Yeah, I do. I think, they've got a lot of holes to fill. There's no question about it. But with the roster they have right now, and the Oriole fans saw Addison Barger have a good series against Baltimore last time. And, they've got Spencer Horwitz, who's a local guy there in Maryland, and he's a guy that we think a lot of, and I think Spencer's going to do a good job. So you have to find out what you have right now. And obviously, losing Jordan Romano, to me, Mazza didn't have a particularly good year. Now he's in the Yankees farm system, and it's just been one of those seasons where everything didn't click. And I think the core is still pretty strong, but they certainly have a lot of work to do before they get back to that contending status.
Talking to Buck Martinez, Inside Access here on The Fan. Not just this year, but like the last few years. I picked the Blue Jays to win the division before last year. I thought they'd be a playoff team this year. What, like in this last few years, what do you feel like has gone wrong here?
Well, they didn't hit this year. Last year, they had a terrific pitching staff, and they didn't hit much all year long, and they couldn't really make the most of the great pitching they had. This year, the pitching hasn't been as good across the board, bullpen and the starting rotation, and they got off to a very slow start. George Springer, he didn't do anything early in the season. Vladdy got off to a slow start. Bo never really got into a groove at all. And, Dalton Varsho, he's hitting around 200. And, offensively, you have to score more than 4 runs a game to compete in the American League. There's no question about that, and the Orioles are a testimony to that for sure.
Buck, you mentioned George Springer got off to a brutal, brutal start, but he's got a 964 OPS over his last 33 games. What's led to that turnaround?
I think he's a little bit more ready for the fastball. I think early in the season he was getting beat by the fastball, and he's playing catch-up, and when you feel like you have to catch up, you're going to start way too early and be out in front of a lot of pitches. But now his timing is good. He's hit some balls really hard lately, and he, like Vladdy, they're in a pretty good spot right now. So I think that's what's encouraging for this team. I think George is under contract for 2 more seasons, if not 3. So he's going to be here for a while. And, Vladdy, of course, as you mentioned, his contract expires next year. But I think Vladdy wants to stay here. I think he wants to be a Blue Jay for the rest of his career, and hopefully they can get that done.
Buck, you got a chance to see the Orioles and the Yankees on this last Blue Jays road trip. They're tied for first place with 49 games to go. How would you handicap that race?
Well, it's really interesting because the Yankees have a very soft schedule the rest of the way. I believe they only play 22 games against teams over 500. And the Orioles, the Orioles have a challenging schedule. So I think it's interesting, too, that they play the last week of the season. They play the Orioles play in New York for three games and then in Minnesota for three games at the end of the season. So it's going to come down to that. The O's have played very well against the division. Obviously, only the Red Sox, other than Baltimore, has a winning record against the division. So, I love their team. I love their manager. I think Brandon's done a terrific job. Obviously, he's the right guy to lead this young core. And they just keep bringing up great prospects. Probably tonight we'll see this lineup. It'll probably have seven first or second round picks that the Orioles drafted in it. And it's pretty impressive what they've done.
Buck, can a team win going all young? Like, that's what the Orioles are trying to do. We had talked to heading into the deadline. The Orioles maybe should try to bring a veteran bat in. They did not really, Eloy Jimenez, if you want to count that, but they're trying to take a flyer there. But can they win with an all young lineup?
No, I think they have a pretty good veteran hitter in Anthony Santander.
Yeah.
He's a very steady hitter, having a heck of a year with the long ball. And you know what? Your young players, they're not typical young players. I mean, you got one of the best leaders behind the plate in Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson. There's no one that watches him play thinks he's 22. He's got so much poise and so much confidence in the field. So I think with the coaching staff and the manager are leading the way, I'm not concerned about their inexperience. The starting staff and the veteran pitching staff is fairly experienced. So I think they're in pretty good shape.
Buck, were you surprised that the O's didn't do anything in terms of bringing in a closer or a high-leverage reliever?
I'm sure they tried. You know, Tanner Scott moved from Miami to San Diego, and he's really on a roll. He's just named the National League Pitcher Reliever of the Month. But, everybody says, well, they got so many players, they should trade some of their excess down in the minors. Unless you really get somebody that you're rock-solid confident in, I agree with him. Just keep those other guys. And, you know, everybody's looking at Craig Kimbrel, and he still has 23 saves. He's not the Craig Kimbrel that we saw early in his career, no question about it. But I think Brandon can do a good enough job of picking his spots. And, he still has that great curveball. His velocity isn't the same as it was in his prime. But, you know, he's had the experience. And I think you just have to lean on these guys. Obviously, you can't do much about it right now. And you have to just go with the guys you got.
Buck, the prices for players, it was a seller's market, and the Blue Jays took advantage of that. Everybody in baseball seems to be raving about the Kikuchi trade. I'm sure the Blue Jays are pretty happy.
Yeah, I think so. As I mentioned before, I think they did a great job dealing the expiring contracts and picking up some very important pieces, and they got a lot younger. They're very thin in the minor league system, but they brought in some guys, including Billy Wagner's kid. He's an infielder swinging a bat really good at Buffalo right now. We mentioned the McAdoo kid from the Pirates. He's a pretty interesting player. And also, they got a kid, Class A, from Seattle, who's got power and speed. So they did a pretty good job. It's not slam dunk as far as turning themselves into contenders, but I think they had a nice start.
Buck, I want to get your thoughts on Yariel Rodriguez, who blanked the Yankees over 4 2/3 on Sunday, just 73 pitches. How impressed have you been with Rodriguez since he got the call?
Well, obviously he had that horrible start against the Orioles. He couldn't get out of the first inning and couldn't throw any strikes. He threw 43 pitches and just 21 strikes, so he was wild, and we hadn't seen that before. And then in his start against New York, he kind of had the same start to the ball game. He just couldn't get anything over the plate. And he actually settled in pretty well. And he was disappointed when he had to come out of the game. But they brought a relief pitcher in to face Soto and Judge for a third time. And, they held him in check. But, yeah, he's been impressive. This is his first year as a starter. So, they're going to be very cautious with him. He's had some back issues. He's been on the IL a couple different times. So, they're not going to push him deep, but he's got a good assortment of pitches, and he wants to be a starter, so I think he's going to get every opportunity to start for this club going forward.
Orioles and Blue Jays start a three-game set tonight in Toronto. Buck Martinez will be on the call for Sportsnet. Buck, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for being Such a great host.
Thanks. We appreciate you. Hey, coming up next here on the program, we're going to get to Eloy. By the way, I have an assignment for you. We had Buck Martinez today. We had Buck Showalter yesterday.
Oh, we need another Buck.
We need a Buck tomorrow. We need to keep this Buck streak going. So,
Buck Williams?
Buck Williams. Hey, former Maryland great Buck Williams. Can we get Buck? I want an all Buck week. Can we get Bucks all week?
Okay.
We'll have to think about Bucks in sports.
Now, would a Joe Buck count?
Joe Buck would count. Yeah, okay. Joe Buck would count.
All right.
But first name or last name, Joe Buck would count. So if you can get Joe Buck, Buck Williams, that gets us Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay.
So now we're on to Friday. We need we'll call it Buckapalooza.
Buckapalooza.
We started the week with Buck Showalter, then Buck Martinez. So, yeah.
We can't half-ass it.
No, we got to continue this.
Almost halfway.
We got to continue this. Yeah. We're 2 days in. If you can help him with any ideas, we would appreciate it. But we want to continue this. Coming up next, Orioles, after the deadline, they did acquire a veteran hitter, getting Eloy Jimenez from the White Sox. Could the Orioles possibly catch lightning in a bottle with Jimenez? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
Base hit. That'll get another run in. On his way to third goes Henderson. And it's 3-0 Baltimore. Two-out RBI single by Eloy Jimenez. Just shot it through the right side.
You know, it's been good because I know Brandon's have 16. And for me, it's like a dad, you know. Cousin, too, he was there. And those guys take care of me right now. I just try to play hard for them.
You heard the highlight on Bally Sports Great Lakes with the Eloy Jimenez hit. And then Eloy, after the game, talking about Brandon Hyde. Remember, he originally came up with the Cubs, and Hyde was there. He's like a father figure to him. Eloy Jimenez has 5 hits and 9 at-bats. He's got 2 RBIs. He's batting .556 in 3 games. Is it possible that the Orioles caught lightning in a bottle with Eloy Jimenez? I kind of look at it. Could he be, and he's not going to be the fielder, but could he be sort of Aaron Hicks-ish? Remember, he was released by the Yankees, and the Orioles picked him up.
Yeah, I think that's what the hope is. And I'll admit, when the move was announced, because that was one of the couple that were announced after the 6 o'clock deadline, I was like, oh, man, Eloy Jimenez. Like, that kind of came out of left field, pun intended.
Yeah.
But he didn't give up anything for
nothing.
Him. And it's also a new age, considering that the Orioles are willing to take on a salary dump at this point. And I know the White Sox took some of that money as well.
Yeah, they did.
But you needed another right-handed bat. You needed another guy that you can start against left-handed pitching. Although, you know, he started, Sunday against Gavin Williams, who's a righty, too.
And all he did was get 3 hits. Yeah,
exactly. You wonder how much of a change of scenery, especially this year, could do for Eloy Jimenez, where you're in the stretch run now, pretty much in the stretch run, where he's on a historically bad baseball team. They just lost a 21st straight game. You take out the 21-game losing streak and the 14-game losing streak, they still have the lowest win percentage in baseball. So, I mean, going to work each day had to be tough. You have to be reinvigorated by being around this group, being reunited with Brandon Hyde. Look, I can't say for certainty, but I think there's a shot, Ken. I mean, he at least a few years back was a damn good ball player. You're just hoping, A, he can stay healthy. That's always been a big thing for Jimenez. But even with his baseball savant numbers, the average exit velocity, the hard hit percentage, they're both in the top 10 percentile in baseball despite the subpar year.
Yeah, here's where I am on that. When it was announced, I was like, oh, that's weird.
I texted
a couple people in baseball, and they both were rather positive on him. And they're like, it's a flyer. And as you outlined, he goes from being at the time 50 games under .500 to now being in first place. Like that, to me, that is a huge shot in the arm boost to a guy's psyche. It like completely changes going to the ballpark every day, because you go from a team that's going nowhere and you're already thinking about the offseason to a team that has aspirations to win a World Series. Like, that's huge. And even if he is, and you mentioned he faced the righty on Sunday, but let's say he's a productive DH against lefties. Like,
you'll take it.
I'm going to take that. Yeah. He's still, what, 26, 27 years old?
27.
Like, he's young. As you said, he's put up numbers before. He's probably not going to play much outfield because I saw him running on one play.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like he can run full speed, but The hit tool looks there.
He is in the bottom 6th percentile in sprint speed.
No,
he's not winning many races.
No.
But you brought him for the bat. And I think, you know, I kind of hypothesized last week when you were out, Ken, when they brought him in, like, man, are they really going to wait for Kobe Mayo to, you know, thread that needle like they did with Gunner, have him eligible for Rookie of the Year next year? But we've seen Kobe Mayo in the lineup every day. We've seen Eloy in the lineup the past two games. So we've seen both of them coexist. So there is a world in this happening. But it does kind of depart from this organization's philosophy in terms of, we know they love that versatility.
Yeah, flexibility.
Where Michael Elias, I mean, he came out and said it. You know, he's going to DH for
us.
So I think they will be able to find a way, especially, I mean, the lineup's not out yet for tonight, but coming off a three-hit game followed by a two-hit game, he might be in the lineup again tonight. I mean, you might as well ride the hot bat.
It also gives you a legit right-handed bat off the bench late in games.
Great point,
on a day where, you know, the bullpen, you're facing a team, they bring in a lefty. You can now go to that guy instead of, say, Ramon or something. And then Ramon, until Jorge Mateo comes back, if he comes back, Ramon's going to have a place on this baseball team. But, like, Eloy Jimenez is now, with him and Ryan Mountcastle, you've got two bats off the bench if neither guy started.
Yeah, I just think the expectations have to be real. Are you getting that guy from a couple years ago where he won a Silver Slugger? No, but can he be, you brought up Aaron Hicks, can he be, you know, a valuable veteran piece to this team? And we shall see. I think there's a shot.
Interesting to see how this goes the rest of the way. Once again, it's a 49-game sprint, essentially, to the end of the season. Orioles and Yankees tied for first place. That starts tonight, a 3-game series in Toronto. Baltimore baseball tonight at 6. That's the Bone and Jim Hunter, correct?
Let's do it.
Oh, before we step out, and please text the text line, 410-583-1057. If you have any ideas, we need to continue this streak. We had Buck Showalter yesterday. We had Buck Martinez today. We're looking for Bucks to finish out the week. We've had an impromptu Buckapalooza. Bone's got some ideas. You already got some feelers out?
Someone hit me up on Twitter and also the text line. We forgot Buck Britton.
Buck Britton. And it's a perfect time to talk to him.
It would be a great time to talk to Buck.
Former Raven Buck Allen, which Ben came up with a great call. But, what are you doing now, Buck? But yeah. Buck Britton is a very good call. You talked to him about both Jackson Holliday and Kobe Mayo. But I think we can get through this week. I said I'll allow Bucky Brooks if we can get NFL Network on the horn. So you've got a shot at this. You've got a shot at this. But coming up next, we head out to One Winning Drive. Our own Jason Lock and Four is there. What's he seeing? He's going to tell us next here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.